Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, welcome, everyone tuned in. Welcome to another edition, another Tuesday night of Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church, where our pastor is Pastor Bishop Omar Zachary and his lovely wife, Lady Zachary, and their family. I am your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV, and I'd like to welcome everybody along with our distinguished panel. Evangelist Dove Stanton, Evangelist Ricky Bluett, Minister Tolbert, and Elder Victor Bluett is our panel. I'd like to welcome you guys, and I'd like to welcome everybody that's listening. Elder Oliver is part of our panel, and I'd like to welcome everybody that's listening all over the world, over in London, England, the Bahamas, Germany, here in the United States, wherever you are in the United States here. And to our Praise Tabernacle Church members that are listening tonight, we want to say welcome to another dynamic Bible study. As Evangelist Dove Stanton like to say, it sounds like we're just sitting around the couch, on the couch. One of my coworkers, one of our managers of my job, Janice Brown, she listens in every week, and it really encourages her. She said, it's like we're just sitting around on the couch and just talking. And that's what it's about, and that people can be encouraged. And we just want to pray that everybody get something out of the Bible study tonight, where our teacher is our very own panel member, Elder Derek Oliver. He will be our speaker tonight, our teacher tonight. And so we just want to just thank everybody that had a mindset to tune in to our Bible study tonight. And we want to say thank you. And so Elder Oliver, I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then the next voice we should hear should be yours, sir. Thank you, Lord God, for another night. Thank you, Lord God, for another day that you've given unto us. We give you all the honor and glory for everything that you do for us, everything that you how you intercede on our behalf, for everybody that loves you, that knows you, that care about you, Jesus, and that you care about us. And we just want to say thank you and give you the highest praise and saying hallelujah. But this is another day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And, Lord God, we just pray that everybody that's listening tonight, Lord God, will get a word from you, get a nugget from you to encourage them, to help them move on to the next thing, to the next day, to the next minute, to the next second. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, and give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, Lord God. And if you touch the hearts of the men and women, and even if there's children that are listening, Lord God, that you touch their hearts, touch their minds with peace, with joy, and with gladness, Lord God. We say thank you, In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Oliver, this is in your hands, sir.
Thank you, Elder Taylor. I appreciate that. I appreciate the opening prayer. To everyone that's sitting on the panel, I just want to say thank you for being part of tonight's Bible study. Giving honor to the Lord that's ahead of my life. Just want to thank the Lord for waking me up, putting me in my right frame of mind, and allowing me to do what God has called me to do. And to everyone that's on the panel, to our very own Bishop, Bishop Omar, just want to say thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Tonight is going to be a struggle to get through this. First and foremost, just let me say, you know, I didn't know, and I was really thinking about the last 5 or 10 minutes, just saying I wasn't going to be here. My oldest son, Roderick, his daughter has been missing for 8 days, and wow. She's in Washington, D.C. We have not heard of her. We're looking for her, and when I talked to my son, I don't think every parent want to hear your kid in the way that I heard it. But giving honor to the Lord, we're going to press on. I just ask you just keep her in prayer. Her name is Brown. I can't even say her name. Sanara Brown. Just keep her in prayer. And she's 15. She's 15. And she's in D.C. She lives in Virginia or Maryland. I'm sorry, Maryland. She went to D.C. And the thing about it that make it so bad, the mom is okay with it. So we're dealing with some people who just not wrapped too tight. So I just ask you just keep her in prayer, keep my son in prayer, and just keep me in prayer as well as I try to get through this on tonight. with saying that, the reason I brought it up is I just want people who listening, because we have people not just at Praise Tabernacle, but we have people all over listening. And it's important when you're going through something that they can see that you can hold it together, that we're just not saying stuff, but we're living it. So when we're living it and we're going through it and you can see it, it has it has a better effect on other people because what they're going through, because there's other people going through things worse than what I'm going through right now, and we just have to endure through it. So I'm hoping that tonight's lesson will be helpful for myself and for everybody else. So with that being said, we're going to be coming out of Matthew, the 7th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to start with the 21st verse. I'm going to give you time to get there. Matthew 7:21. And we're going to talk about some things tonight, what it means to be a disciple. And I'm going to try to do my best to break this down the way that the Lord has given it to me. And there's some things we're going to discuss. There's some things in here that as I was reading it, it just laid on my heart to talk about it, teach about it, preach about it. And Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we're going to start with verse 21. And it says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and we have prophesied in thy name and have cast out devils in thy name and many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that ye work of iniquity. 24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him a wise man what built his house upon a rock. And the rain descent, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Going back to 21, it says, everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, I'm sorry. 21 again. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What I like about what is being said here is because we say, Lord, Lord, because we prophesy, and because we do all these things, are you really doing the will of the Father? Or are you doing your own will? Now, to me, and I'm going to open it up for the panel, right here in this verse, just because we do things on our own, or are we doing things in God's will? Are we doing God's will? Are we following God's will? Or are we doing our own will? Now, there's a lot of people in the churches doing their own will, and it looks
right.
Good. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, on the surface, it is good. But if you're doing it for personal reasons, now, I didn't say
right.
This. The Lord said it, and this is the Lord talking. He's going to spew you out of my mind. He's going to spew you. He don't know who you are because you're not doing his will. And so we got to stop trying to pretend we're doing his will because, and I'm going to show you something in a minute, because, and I'm just going by what the scripture said because it's very self-explanatory. People will say and prophesy and look good, and the Lord don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says those that does his will, the Father's will, the Lord's will. And how can you do his will? In order to do his will, you got to be a good disciple. I want to say amen on that. In order to do the Lord's will, you have to be a disciple of Christ. Am I right? You got to be a disciple of Christ.
Right.
I'm going to get back to this in a minute. You got to be a disciple of Christ. And when I looked up the word disciple, it's a Latin word that means student. So not only you got to be a disciple, you got to be a student. And a student is a person that follows what he's learned. So if you're a disciple, you're going to follow the Lord, and you're going to become a good student, and a good student follows what he's being taught. And what he's being taught is the word of God. So if you're doing the word of God and doing what you want to do with the word of God, that's your will. And it sounds good and it looks good, but it's not the will of the Father. But if you're following his will and you're doing what you're being taught, then the Bible clearly states that you are a wise man and that you're going to build your house upon the rock. Now, the difference is, what will are you doing? Is he going to say you're in his will and you're going to come in, or he's going to say, spew, he don't know who you are, and you're going to go out? Either you're coming in or you're going out. There is no in between. And when you become a good disciple, and we're going to talk about disciples in a minute and what makes a good disciple, because it's really self-explanatory. We read it and we say it after every service at Praise Tabernacle, the Great Commission. We say that all the time. And one of the first two things of being a good disciple is, A, you got to be able to go. Two, you have to be able to teach, and you also got to have a teachable spirit. That's one of the two things you got to do when you want to be a good disciple. The third thing to be a good disciple, you got to love God. You cannot say you love God and don't like me or hate me.
Mm-hmm.
Or go against everything that I'm trying to do. You got to love God. Number four, you got to love others. You just can't just love everybody in the church. You got to love everybody. I didn't say you got to like their sin or say that their sin is okay and they can do whatever they want, but we have to love everybody where they're at. And if you are a good disciple, you're going to be able to teach them what the Lord will want you to teach them at that time. We got to be able to love others. We also got to be able to stand out. If you're going to be a good disciple, if you want to build your house on a rock, and if you want to be able to enter the heaven, you got to be able to stand out. There got to be something different about you. You can't be like everybody else. You have to be able to stand out. Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. We have to stand out. We have to have a light. There ought to be something different about us. Amen? Also,
right.
When I say that, when I say that, stand out, we have to be able not to be like everybody else. I know that's a little different. I know that's a little hard for people to grasp.
Well,
I can't be like.
See a difference with us.
Go ahead, Elder.
I was going to say that people have to see a difference in us than a difference between us and the world. You know, because that's what makes us stand out, because we're different. We talk different. We act different. Our attitude is different. With love and kindness have I drawn thee. We're not easily upset, you know, even though in the world, when we was in the world, we probably was that person that was easily upset or, you know, got a bad temper or whatever, you know. But when we come on the Lord's side, to set us apart from the world, you know, we have to be different. And being different will allow us to stand out, be separate, be apart. And people would notice that there's something different about Richard. There's something different about, you know, you want people to say, what is it about Richard that something's different about him? And that's what you want people to say in a positive way, you know, and be approachable to so that people don't feel ashamed or where they can come and talk to you, you know, without feeling ashamed or anything like that. So I just wanted to add that part in there as well.
Amen. Amen. Wow, Elder, really good topic and lesson on tonight. When you were talking about discipleship being a student, I thought about when I was a student in school, and one thing that can kind of differentiate a good student from a bad student is how much studying that student does when they're not in class.
Right.
You have tests and you have quizzes, but like if the teacher gave you a reading assignment, you know, did you go home? Did you read it? Did you read it for understanding? Did you go back and look at the questions to try to understand what you were reading? And it's the same thing in this walk. Like you were saying, a disciple, a student, God requires that we read the word. And you can tell when a Christian has been reading their word, and sometimes you can tell when they haven't. They kind of fake it a little bit if they haven't.
Yeah.
But
right.
God doesn't want us to fake it. God wants us to read and study the word so that we can have understanding. So when the test does come upon us in life, we have
That's
a
right.
word in our mouth. We have a
right.
it is written word in our mouth.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I mean, just, and I think, I don't know who actually said this, but just because you go to church it doesn't make you a Christian. It's just like standing in the garage. Right. Just because I stand in the garage, that don't make me a car.
Right.
Okay? So just because you go into the church doesn't make you a Christian. What separates you is when you can forgive, when you can walk in forgiveness, which is that love that God has called us to walk into. That's the love that he requires, is that forgiveness. When we can love our neighbors as ourselves, our neighbors could be in the car that's right next to us, or our neighbors could be in the car that's trying to get around us. Are you loving that neighbor, or are you, you know, trying to cut them off? So we have to remember that what you're saying is so very true. It's not just because you're looking good and you sound good that, you know, gets you into heaven. It's that relationship. And guess what? God sees your heart every day.
Amen.
He sees your heart every day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I would like to also add, do we know the will of God? Do we really know the will of God? I mean, that's a question. Do we really know the will of God? Is it the relationship? Getting to know God? Once we get to know God and have a relationship with God, then we can be in his will. But you have to get to know him first before you even do his will, because you can't love right, give right, or do nothing right unless you get to know the Father. Oh, I won't say get to know the Father, because I knew how to love before I knew him. But to get to know him, he'll show you the right way, not doing things because you are obligated to do it or somebody told you to do it. I was taught how to love. But to do it the right way, to get the relationship and have a relationship with God, so you will know. Because a lot of times we can be doing something for so long, we think we're doing it right. But once you get to know God, he'll show you all the wrongs that you thought was right so you can get right. And it all starts with the relationship and know the love of God. And once you feel that love of God and know the love of God, people can't give you something that they don't have. And that's love. A lot of people, they're lacking love. Christians are lacking love. They don't know how to love. And that's the main will of God. The relationship with him and the love of him. And to show others love, that love.
Amen. 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 Yeah, that is so true. What is the will of God? I'm going to get to that in just a second. The will of God. What is the will of God? How do we know we're doing the will of God? When you become a disciple of Christ and you start following him, it's his word. And we cannot get away from his word. Because once you get his word and you get into his word, wherever you want to start at with his word, that's really starting to do the will of God. Now, we ain't going to all conquer this in one day or in one year, but at some point, if you want to just take the love aspect of this, the Lord teaches us how to love one another. And once you start applying that word and that love into your everyday life, that's doing the will of God. What we do sometimes, and I don't want to get too much off the subject, is we pick and choose what we want to do and throw the rest of it away. That's not doing God's will. I can love Elder Taylor all day long, but yet I can hold my nose up at Minister Tolbert because I just don't like him. See, you're not in the will of God. He ain't done nothing to me. But I'm going to show and practice love with Elder Taylor, but there's something about, and Minister Tolbert, I'm just using you as an example. You know, you cool in my book, but I'm just using it as an example. That's what we do as Christians. We pick and choose what we want to apply to our life, and that's when it becomes our will and not his will. When we're loving people we don't like, that's doing God's will. When we're helping people we don't care about, that's doing God's will. when we're
That's
doing
right.
things that we don't want to do, but God commands us to do it, that's doing our will. And just like it says in the scripture when I said, everyone that says, Lord, Lord, ain't going to make it because they're doing their will. And he said there's going to be some that cast the demons out. They did it because they wanted to do it, not because it was their will. So it's very important being a disciple and a strong disciple is we have to keep God's will first. And the way you know you're doing it first is if you have a hard time, if you're struggling in something, but you're doing it because the word tells you to do it. If God says don't do it and you're doing it, you're not doing his will. If God says do it and you're doing it, you're in his will. It's very simple. And it's just very important because for us to be a stronger church, we got to be strong disciples. We can't be wishy-washy disciples with any of these things. If we're lacking in any of these areas, it's going to throw us off. And I swear to you, it's very hard. It's very easy to do. And one of the seven things is, well, number seven is what I was on, is we have to be firm in God's word. In John 8:31-32, it says, so Jesus said unto the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I like that right there, because it's saying that if you know him, and you know his word, the truth, and sometimes the truth will hurt you, but it will set you free. And tonight, if you are a disciple, are you free? Are you a free disciple, or are you enslaved with your will? I'm going to say that again because I think that went over everybody's head. Are you a free disciple, or are you a slave to your will? That means you're going to do what you want to do. You're going to use it for your glory and your benefit and for when you want to use it. And when you do that, you become a weak disciple. But when you're doing his will, that truth will set you free. That truth, you'll be able to conquer the things that you're weak in because you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you know the word and you do the word, you become set free. Now, I'm going to say this because, and if I'm wrong, panel, tell me I'm wrong. But if you know something is wrong, and you know it, and you know it in your heart, and you're a disciple of Christ, but you allow that wrong to continue, it weakens you as a disciple.
That's true. I believe that.
So what I'm saying is, and this is for Derek, because there's some areas I can't go there right now. But at the same time, it's weakening me when God is telling me to go there. He's telling me the word tells you need to love this individual. You need to love them. But I just can't do it right now. Well, now I'm putting my will in front, so I'm weak. And when other
right.
people see that, real recognize real. And when you see that you don't love, and I'm just throwing something out there so people can understand, if you don't love white people the way you love black people, people can see that, and it's not of God, and you're supposed to be a disciple and a follower of Christ, it don't add up. It don't add up. If you're a disciple of Christ, you have to be about your Father's business and not your business. You have to deny yourself.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Elder, I do have a comment about that because I know sometimes people say, but you don't know what somebody did to me. I mean, I've been in some bad situations in my life. In my youth, I went through some things. As an adult, I went through some things. And even though people don't know what other people have done to me, God knows. And
that's, right.
that's why I speak on forgiveness a lot, because Forgiveness, we don't have the willpower to do it, to forgive and love. Now, it doesn't, I can forgive and love and still keep my distance from, you know, those people that hurt me. It doesn't mean that I have to go around them and, you know, try to have a relationship with them. But is my heart pure? If they were in need, would I help meet the need if I could, you know, out of love, out of forgiveness, which it took me a long time to get there. I'm going to be transparent, just like you're talking tonight. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens with my relationship. It happens when you grow that relationship with God, when the more you read the word, the more you get into his presence, the more you deny yourself, the more you mm-hmm. take up your cross and deny your flesh, you know, deny your flesh of anger and deny your flesh of hatred. The more you practice and do that, you know, the Holy Spirit coming in and driving out the darkness in your life, then that helps you to begin to truly love people. And even though people have done some things to you, maybe in your youth, you know, maybe when you were younger, maybe as an adult, somebody really did hurt you bad. Let me encourage you. The word of God says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Give it to God. God wants that pain. Give that pain to God and ask him to come in with the Holy Spirit and drive out that pain, drive out that hurt, to cut it at the root so that you can walk in love, so that you can walk in forgiveness. Look at what Jesus did. He did it. He did it in the flesh. He didn't do anything to anybody. But look how they treated him. So he gave us that example. We can do it. We can love. We really can. But you've got to give it to God. And if you got to do it every day, however long it takes you, some people may be delivered in a moment, in a second. Some people may take deliverance for a while. But you continue to practice that deliverance with the word of God and asking for his love so that you can love others. Thank you, Elder.
Amen.
Thank you.
I would like to make a comment as well. Thank you, Evangelist Stanton, because I'm going to tell you this. Forgiveness is for you, not the other person.
That's right. That's right.
Once I learned how to forgive people, I was delivered from a whole lot of other stuff. We hold up our own healings. We hold up other people's blessings when we're holding on to stuff.
Once
I start releasing stuff and people from my heart, when I start calling, and forgiving others, God, that's why we are so blessed. That's why my family is going to stay blessed, because we have to learn how to forgive, because you're holding up and you're hindering yourself. You're not hitting another person, and it may be they don't even know that they offended you or whatever. Okay, but you're walking around here years holding the grudge, and the other person don't even know. If you even have to confront the person, not even confront, just tell them how they made you feel and forgive them and move on and really forgive them. Don't bring it back up, because believe me, your deliverance, your true deliverance will start when you forgive.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Elder Oliver, I just want to add something real quick. Over in John 15, that whole chapter is about God telling us, showing us. Jesus is speaking here. It's read in my Bible, so that tells me that Jesus is speaking here. And John 15:10, he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And if you go down to verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that if a man lay down his life for his friends." And it just goes on, you know, about love, how we love, who we love, how we that, I recommend everyone that's listening, just to go, if you read it 100 times, go back and read it 101 times just to get a refresher, you know, on what we're talking about tonight. John 15, the whole chapter.
Amen. Yeah, we definitely have to love. And thank you for that, Elder Taylor and Sister Bluette. I appreciate that. But I wanna ask a question, and about discipleship. And I heard Evangelist Bluette say when she learned to forgive. Right there, when she learned to forgive. See, sometimes we have to learn by falling down. We get back up. We fall down. We get back up. Whatever it may be, if it's forgiving someone, if it's loving someone, whatever it is, it's a learning process. It may take some longer because we are students of his word, and some students get it quicker than others. The thing about what we do as disciples, I'm not saying anyone, I know myself, I'm only speaking for experience. We hit a roadblock and we don't want to try no more. We stop. We don't go no further. If we fall down, we just stay there in that area and we don't get back up. And we use excuses or we use, I'm trying, but you're not doing anything any differently. And that prolongers of being, because if you're in God's word and you're living his word, at some point, if you keep getting up and you keep trying it and you keep trying it, and sometimes if you, and I'm going to get to this a little bit at the end, when you surround yourself around brothers and sisters who are for you, when you hear their stories and their battles, when you hear it, it will get you to maybe to try something a little bit different. I said this on Sunday. I was talking to Evangelist Bluette, and she said something to me. I've heard it 1,000 times, but when she said it, I received it. It was a little bit different. I had to try something a little bit different. Now, if I would have been doing it my way, I'd have keep bumping my head, and I would have been at a standstill. And when you're at a standstill, you can't fully be used as a true disciple of Christ until you get over certain stumbling blocks. If I have a stumbling block of forgiving someone, everyone is going to put me on notice because everyone is going to do stuff to me that I got to forgive them because it's a stumbling block. The devil knows that, and he's going to send all that your way. So when you getting these trials and tribulations is coming after you and you are a disciple, you have to keep trying and trying. If it's not working, maybe you need to try something a little different. And when I say that is, maybe the scripture you're using may not be working. Maybe you need to get a little bit more in your Bible and try a different scripture. I know people don't like hearing that. But I'm just being transparent, and I'm just trying to be honest. Sometimes we hinder our own selves because we're stuck and we're traditional and we're just routine. And it takes a long time for us to get what God wants us to have because we're stubborn and we want to do it our way. And when we're doing it our way, it's our will. And when it's our will, that's when we cannot have the fullness of what God wants us to have. And as I was reading with my opening scriptures in Matthew 7, it was talking about the rain came and the storm came and the flood came. It's telling us we're going to have some hard times. We're going to have some hard times. But if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in God's will and listening to his word and being guided by him, you will overcome the storm. And when you overcome the storm, you will be there when the sun rises. And you overcame it. And it's not an issue with you no more. But if we have the same issues over and over and over, okay, at some point you got to check self. What am I doing that's not making me a good disciple. And as a leader in a church, and as a father, as a husband, I have to be the best disciple I can be. I cannot have no looseness around me, because if I do, somewhere amongst my ministry is going to struggle. And that's not what we can't have. Because if I'm an elder in the church and I'm struggling, well, now my team is going to have a problem with me. They may not verbally come out and say it, but Elder Oliver struggled. What's wrong? What's going on? When we look to the scriptures, like Evangelist Stanton said, you can tell a good student from a bad student. A good student is going to study. A good student, if they mess up, they're going to try to retake the test again. A good student will be bothered by low grades. They will be bothering the teacher, I need to get my grade point average up. But if you're comfortable with being a lackluster disciple, the Bible says you may not get into heaven. I'm just going with what the scripture says.
Elder, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this just dawned on me. A good student has good time management also.
That's right.
Time management. See, we say that we don't have time to read the word, or we don't have time to pray, but we have plenty time. We need to turn the TV off earlier or not turn it on at all, need to stop holding these cell phones in our hand, looking at TikTok for 2 hours. That's 2 hours you could have spent with God. Because you know once you get to going in YouTube or TikTok, you know you're not just watching it to look at one. You're going to be on your phone for some considerable amount of time. So your time management, in order to get where you need to get, what are you doing? Like you just said, you have time if you need to get up. And I think I put this challenge out a couple of weeks ago. I said, get up at least 10 minutes earlier than what you usually do to spend some time with God. I'm not going to say get up, start with 1 hour. Start with 10 minutes. How many that are listening on tonight and you remember that challenge that I put out have actually started doing it, getting up 10 or 15, 20 minutes before you need to get up to go about your day and just devote that time to God in your word, in prayer, in praise, in worship? How many of you have actually started doing that? Because that is what's going to make a difference. So our time management is another aspect of being that good student. Thank you, sir.
No, amen. That's great. Time management, it is great. You said something, Evangelist said a couple weeks ago, and it stuck with me. And it, you just brought it back up with time management. And 10 minutes, 5 minutes, I've taken it even in every hours of the day. And now when I leave out of my house and I get in my car, I take 30 seconds after I start the car up and I just give it to the Lord. Just 30 seconds. Because that's 30 seconds I could have been doing something else. That's 30 seconds. And I'm giving them 30 seconds because I wasn't doing nothing else important anyway. I was just getting in my car and starting it up. And just those little bit of times, if you just give it to the Lord, 30 seconds here, 1 minute over here, 5 minutes over here, it you've built up your relationship with the Lord. And
That's right.
I just want to say this because I just feel on my heart to say it, but I'm coming to the point as a Christian and as a believer in Christ, every day I want to get closer to Christ. And every day when I'm dealing with everything that goes on in the world, it annoys me because it's not Christ-like. And now I'm saying, am I becoming a grumpy old man or I'm becoming more like Christ? and this stuff is starting to bother me. Sin is starting to bother me more and more because I'm giving more time to him. I go to bed at night with the word on my ears. I wake up in the morning with the word on my ears. I do that for a reason because I want to be, regardless whatever happens to me, I want to be around the word of God. Now, I'm still learning. I'm still struggling in areas, but the more and more I start to give him a little bit of my time, it seems like stuff just aggravate me when it comes to sin. And it seems like it aggravates me more when it comes from the people that I ought to love and fellowship. It seems like I want to go higher with everybody on my team. So if we are going higher together, that means we're in fellowship with the Lord. But if I'm not trying to go where you're trying to go, at some point I'm going to annoy you because we ain't going to the same place. If I'm not studying, if I'm not praying, I'm going to become a problem for Evangelist Stanton because she's trying to get to another level. If I'm not trying to get there and I'm comfortable where I'm at, there's going to be a problem. That's why the church can't grow, because certain people are elevating themselves to go higher. But when other people ain't elevating themselves to go higher, they're comfortable where they are, we got to keep coming back down and having the same conversation that we had 10 years ago. We still having it today. We haven't elevated to the next level. And if you're not at the next level, something's wrong with your discipleship. I just feel led to say that because I'm trying to get to another level in my walk with the Lord, and he's showing me some things as I get there. I was troubled today, and I said this, and I just want to say this, and we'll move on. But last week, Elder Taylor spoke. What he taught on last week was a bridge to get me over my troubled water. He didn't know that. He didn't have a clue. Probably still don't know that. But I'm telling him that because whatever the Lord gave him, it was for me. Now, how does that help everybody else? I don't know what everyone else is going through, but wherever you're at and why you're listening to the word is for you, and it's for you to apply for your life right now. And because not only was last week a bridge over troubled waters for me, but it seemed like every time someone teaches or preaches, it's a bridge over troubled waters for me at that particular time. So I'm very happy where I am with the Lord because it seemed like all the teachers and the preachers are in sync with the Holy Spirit. And they're saying and teaching what the Holy Spirit is giving them. So therefore, whatever I'm going through right now in my life is like a bridge that's getting me over. I don't got all the answers all the time. Sometimes I need to be ministered to by the people that I'm around. So it's real good, and I brag and talk about it all the time because whatever I'm going through, you may not even know it, but you're helping me get to the next level just by being obedient and in the spirit of the Lord. That's what makes a good disciple. You could be helping, and you don't even know it. You don't even have to know it. You just have to be obedient to the word, and that's what I love. A few minutes before I was telling you about my granddaughter, I spoke with the pastor for about 2-3 minutes, and it was funny because he gave me what I needed. Because when I talk to the pastor, I like to joke and laugh. We like to joke and laugh. He know, and I know, we both know that the Lord is going to do everything, but he's given me, he knew what to say. We had a laugh, it just uplifted me to get me to the next few minutes. I was good. Sometimes your presence will help other people get through, just your presence. And if you're in the presence of God and doing God's will, sometimes just a hello will do them just fine. How you doing? Another time, and Evangelist Stan, you can tell your husband I owe him a breakfast. But when I first started going to Praise Tabernacle and I finally got a key, Deacon Stanton met me down at the church. Now, I just got up that morning, ran down to the church. I'm a diabetic. I get to the church. I start feeling weak. I'm saying to myself, I hope he hurry up. We got to go. I got, you know, he don't know this. But when he came with my key, he had some Burger King and bought me breakfast. Now, for a diabetic, that was like a light. That was like gold for me. He didn't know it. Didn't no one tell him. But for some reason, he was led by the Spirit to buy Elder Oliver some breakfast while I give him his key. Now, if you can't tell me that ain't the Lord, I don't believe in coincidences, but that was just the Lord having the right person at the right time. Now, he didn't need to know all the information. He didn't need to know all of that. He just said, let me buy Brother Oliver some breakfast. And by doing that, it uplifted me. It gave him the energy that I needed because my sugar was low. And that orange juice, and everyone know with a diabetic, orange juice, it raises your sugar to go up. He didn't know that. He didn't know that until I just said it tonight. But that's why I love being with the team that I'm with, because I don't have to say nothing. The Lord knows what he's doing. And when we want to be better disciples and a stronger so we can do what the Lord will want us to do at Praise Tabernacle, we have to get ourselves individually together. I got to be a strong, I'm going to be needed for somebody. And that's why I love coming to Bible study, because it uplifts me. It gives me what I need to get to the next day and the next day. And that's what the Lord has been blessing me with. So when we're talking about disciples and talking about how you're going to build your house, in order to build your house, you got to first be a follower of Christ. And in order to be a follower of Christ, you have to follow him and follow his word. And when you follow his word, you got to be a good student. You have to apply his word to your life on every aspect, from forgiving to loving to fellowshipping to ministry. Because to make it clear to everybody, we all got ministry. We got ministry at the church. We got ministry at home. We got ministry at work. We got ministry in our neighborhood, period. In all ailments, we need to be ministering in all realms of it. It ain't just a PTC thing. I'm just not an elder at Praise Tabernacle Church. Don't have to look holy on Sunday. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I live the way I want to live. And we in the church, and I'm just saying it because I see it so often, we get comfortable with stuff. And it's okay to be comfortable when it's really not, because God requires us to do his will. And if we're doing his will, it's 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, all day, every day. Even when you're asleep, before you give say your prayers, you're still in God's will.
Yes, sir.
But some of us, we don't do that. I know some people, and some of the people, I have five young men that I mentor that go to five different churches. And if you listen to what I listen to on a day in and day out basis, I'm like, what do you do before you go to bed? That's not the will of God. You can't be doing that. What are you doing on your lunch break at work? That's not the will of God. You can't be doing that, because somebody is watching you. And most important, the Lord is watching you. Anyone got anything they want to say?
Yes, I want to say something real quick. I want to help you out with the irritation part. Even with the ministering or whatever, a lot of times we could be irritated, but God even showed me in the irritation, that's the time to minister. Don't let it irritate you to the point where you sin and you get angry, you get upset. That's the time for ministry. That's a good time to, you know, for minister, because everybody hate the dark, but don't nobody want their light to shine in the dark. So God put us in dark, and it shines brighter in the dark.
That's right.
Light, no, that, you can't that, even that, see the light in the light. It shines the brightest.
I like
the dark.
That.
So don't
I
let
like
it irritate you. Just let your light shine brighter in the darkness.
Well, I don't mean that it irritates me to the point where I can't minister. What I mean it irritates me is if two brothers are going in the same place and yet and still I have to keep referring to what you know, a good student and a bad student. And I played football. When I played sports, you had good athletes, you had bad athletes, but then you had the lazy athletes, and you would have to yell at them and come on, because if they were lacking, the head coach would make everybody run. Suicides. You did yours the hardest because you're focused. You're doing what you got to do because you got a few other people who's lacking. That means you got to go and do this all over again for their mistakes. And what's frustrating about that is, it's not that we're not, because I feel I'm ministering about it right now, is the fact that when we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're supposed to get to that next level, but we can't get to the next level because you have other people who know the way. And I'm talking about the unbeliever. I'm talking about the disciple, the leaders. I'm talking about when they lack, and you got to pick up their slack and their slack. It gets frustrating, and then when you say it or you preach about it or you teach about it, people come up with reasons, and good people, I ain't going to say good people, but, yeah, good people know how to play around words, play around the scriptures. But when you sold out for Christ, there really isn't no playing around the scripture. Either you are or you're not. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. There is no in-between. And the reason we can't get to another level where Christ wants us to be, see, I might be blessed. The Blueettes, you might be blessed on your end. But as a whole, together, can we all come up together? Me, I want to bring everybody up because that's the Christ in me. Because that's what Christ would do, bring everybody up to the level. But if everyone's not participating and running from the same playbook, doing what they want to do and their will, it makes everybody else have to, okay, because we have to deal with this. And when we're dealing with this, like we're dealing with it now, this is really for the leader. We have to deal with it because personally, we're supposed to be at a certain level of Christ. We're supposed to be winning souls. People are supposed to be getting healed. So the question is, what are you doing? What am I doing? And if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we got to look and see what's going on. And as athletes, and I only can refer to athletes because that's really all I know, is I know when I play. If the people who weren't starting, if they weren't hustling, we all had to we all had to suffer and run. If you wasn't paying attention and you jumped offside, we all had to do suicides because you were not focused. You were not doing the will of the team. You were doing your own thing. And one of the things is this, and this is for another day because I'm feeling myself getting happy. Playing football, and I think Elder Taylor, you coaches, you know, we had to keep our helmets on all the time. You couldn't take your helmet off. You had to leave your helmet on. That was just a rule. I don't understand. Still don't understand that rule. But sometimes, you know, you had people who wasn't playing. That helmet would give them a headache, and they would. You could see them unstrap it, and next thing you know, they have it half. And the coach would make everybody because they were not in uniform. And when we put on the whole armor of God, you have to put on the whole. You can't put on half the armor and expect to do battle with the devil and expect to win.
That's right.
You can't do that. You have to put on the whole
armor.
You're
only as strong as a weakest link.
Exactly. And if I got everything in my armor but my sword, and I come around Elder Taylor without my sword, he's going to be looking at me like, where your sword at? I have got it. Well, how are we going to do battle when you ain't got your sword? So now Elder Taylor got to not fight for himself, but he got to fight for me too because I'm ill-equipped to do what I'm supposed to do. And not only do he have to watch me, he has to protect me because I'm there without my sword. I know I ain't got my sword. He know I ain't got my sword. But guess what? I'm going to ride his coattail because I know he got his sword.
Amen.
And then I say, thank you, Doc. I appreciate you. Now, he tired. He wore out. He done took some hits. All because he had to protect me. And it's okay because that's what he's designed to do that. It's designed for us to do that. But how much easier would it be if I just brought my sword with me? How much easier would it be if I just took 10 minutes out of my day to open my Bible and read it? How much easier would it be if I just took 10 minutes and prayed more every day? Just 10 minutes a day. And from 10 minutes, you go to 20 minutes, and you do, That's doing the will of God. That's living your life the way he wants you to live it. And when the rain comes and the floods come, you'll be able to withstand anything that comes at you because you're building your house upon the rock. Everyone is going to have some rainy days. Everyone is going to have some stormy days. Are you equipped to handle it on your own? That's all I got, fellas. I'm sorry. I got long-winded there. But that's all I got. For those that are listening, if you want to be a disciple, the way that you be a disciple is first you got to believe in Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that's the first sign, the first step of becoming a good disciple is believing that he died for your sins and he's coming back to get us again. That's the first sign of being a good disciple. I just wanted to express myself a little bit, talk about discipleship a little bit, and talking about how we're going to build our houses. And I think it's just good sometimes to go over the basics, because if we get the basics right, I think everything else in the long run will pick up by itself. Elder Taylor, that's all I got.
Hey, can I add something real quick?
Go ahead, Elder Blewett.
All right. That's a great conversation. I like the way you yourself up, but you do admit your faults, as we all should. That's a good thing. If we could admit our faults one to another, God is able to forgive us our faults. But going back to your scripture and how you referenced that and how people came to Jesus, and Jesus mentioned in verse 23 that he never knew them. Another reference to your scripture is 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." So for everybody that's listening, myself included, you know, we have to appear before Christ when it's all said and done. And what if he asks, you know, the question, "I knew you had 10 minutes on such and such day to get in your word. I knew you had 30 minutes to help somebody with the blessing I gave you. I knew you had time to do this, that, and the other in my name. I knew you had the time because I gave you the time. I set the situations up in your life to see how you would do. I gave you the power to even do it, and you chose not." So we have to be careful, because when it's all said and done, God is going to prosecute those he don't know. And we got, and like Elder Oliver's been saying for a few months now, you know, about folk playing church and, you know, being the church on Sunday and being something else on Monday, that ain't making God happy. That's not making God happy at all. We the day is going to come when we have to stand before God, stand before his word, which is Christ, who gave the word how we should be, how we ought to act, how we must do things. We got to stand before him, and we have to confess, and we have to rightfully accept our judgment. So I'll leave this right here. What judgment would you prefer? Eyes up in hell to see those who are with Christ? Because you will see it. That's the agony of it. You will see it. So what do you want? Why can't people just do what you're supposed to do? Because we have excuses. But neither one of those excuses will work when we have to stand before God on Judgment Day. Great lesson, Elder Oliver. Great scripture. Thought-provoking.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Always, every Bible study is very thought-provoking, as Elder Blewett just said. and encouraging. A lot was said tonight by Elder Oliver and the panel, you know, and about discipleship and what it means and what it should mean to you, what it should mean to me. And I just want to add that we all, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you also become a disciple, where you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a title to your name. You don't have to have but Brother Richard, Sister Taylor. It could be something as simple as that, but we are all disciples when it comes to the things of God. We all share the gospel to a dark and dying world. I don't care if you're a lay member, if you're a prophetess or an evangelist, you're part of the fivefold ministry. I don't care what your title is, whether you have one or not. Our responsibility is to share the gospel as a disciple. Learn it, whether you're a new convert or been saved for 50 years. Learn the word. Share the word that you learn, you know, and be an encouragement, be an example, be a witness to somebody that they may see something in you that they haven't seen before. And they can come up, it's something different about you. Do you go to church? Or something to that effect. You know, and then that's a way to open up, you know, about the one you serve, which is Jesus Christ. So good word tonight, Elder Oliver, on discipleship. And I pray that everybody that's still tuned in and listening to tonight got something, a nugget from someone, if not Elder Oliver, from one of the panel members, to encourage you to take the next step, to move forward in the things of God, and to be an obedient, humble vessel to be used by God in your discipleship, in your walk with him, to get closer to him, to get tuned in with him. So if there be nothing else, I'd like to ask one question of Evangelist Stanton, if you're still on.
Yes.
Has anybody contacted the email yet? Has anybody had any prayer requests on the email yet?
No, sir, not as of yet.
Okay. All right, well, just everybody that's listening tonight, just know that we have a prayer request email. It's ptcforchrist@gmail.com. ptcforchrist@gmail.com. And if you have any prayer requests or even a question or anything you would like to share with our leadership team, we would get it out to our leadership team, and we can maybe go over something in the Bible study, you know, a question that was raised, and maybe we can go over it in the Bible study, something to that effect. We just want you to know that you can contact us through that email, and we just want everybody to be encouraged and to stay encouraged. And know that we love you as a collective body of believers, as Praise Tabernacle Church, as Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, are our leaders of Praise Tabernacle Church. And we just want to encourage you all to continue to keep pressing. Like Paul said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And we just want to keep pressing and moving on in the things of God. So if there be nothing else, we're going to pray and do our great commission, and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your name. We thank you for another dynamic Bible study tonight. And we thank you for Elder Oliver. We pray that you revive him, renew him, restore him, and the things that he's given out for your glory tonight. And all the panel members, Lord God, that's given out for you tonight, Lord God, that you protect the homes and the families of our panel members and everyone that is listening tonight. And just know that, Lord God, we create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us so that we can love each other, help take care of each other, help love people that we don't know, and help us love people that we do know. And we just want to be good disciples of you, Jesus, as we move forward in our walk with you. And as we leave this call, but never your presence, we'd like to say our great commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you, everybody, wherever you are. And we love you with the love of Jesus Christ. This Bible study is now dismissed. Amen.